You're listening to That's the Industry Podcast, episode number 51. Today, we are going to do another throwback interview I did a little while back with a friend and colleague. She is a TV host, and at the time of this recording, she was the sports reporter for the Atlanta Braves, which means she was on the Jumbotron. She was doing interviews with the players. She's such a talented individual, and it's always so fascinating to me on how you just watch people progress. I mean, she's already really good at what she does, but she's just getting better and better and better. Plus, she's just a great person and a terrific role model. And speaking of progression, it's always kind of cool to see my progression as well, watching these interviews all over again. That being said, I've said this 1,000 times, whether you are a sports reporter, TV host, tattoo artist, producer, rapper, if you were in the entertainment industry at all, podcaster, YouTuber, no matter what the subject is, maybe I need to like change the intro a little bit. Like, just because you can't personally relate to the person I'm interviewing's profession, you can definitely relate to their hustle and their drive. There are so many gold nuggets in this interview, I can't even explain. So without further ado, let's go.
You're listening to That's the Industry with Thomas Jordan.
That's the Industry with Thomas Jordan.
The podcast that takes you inside all the aspects of the entertainment industry. Directly from the people who are making it happen. And now, your host, Thomas Jordan.
What's going on, guys? Thomas Jordan here, still in Atlanta. I'm talking to Greer Howard, is another TV host and reporter for the Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves, that is super cool. She's on the Jumbotron, which is even cooler. You know, you do stuff with the Weather Channel, as well as you do industrial work as well for commercials. So you've got quite the resume.
Hey, I try, you know, you just got to keep working, make it all come together, Thomas.
Yeah. So what's it like being on the Jumbotron? That's super cool. Because the new stadium seats, how many people?
42,000.
Yeah.
And it's funny, people will send you pictures and say, hey, I see your big face. And you're like, yes, because my face is ginormous on this huge screen that we have. But it's a ton of fun. It's been a great experience opening up this new ballpark. And our team had an incredible season. We were way ahead than everybody was thinking we were going to be this year. And so, gosh, you know, to be able to go to the ballpark every day and that to be your job is dream come true. So much fun.
So was it a little nerve-wracking when you saw your face up there? It's like, oh, and then everybody can hear you because you're talking. It's echoing. I mean, 42,000 people hear you. So what's that like?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think people love when we do everything that I do live to tape. So it appears to be live, but we've actually taped it before. Okay. And so I will often be at a certain part in the ballpark, or I'll be up in the control room, or I'll be somewhere else, or I'll be out interviewing fans for a segment that's going to go later on. And everybody will be like, they'll pull out their phone and go, I see you here, but you're also here. So it's this little fake out that we do. But I don't know if you ever get used to like watching yourself. It's always a little weird, but yeah, I mean, it's just kind of how it is, I guess. You know, you just do your things and there you are up on the Jumbotron and everybody just is checking it out. So it's fun.
Yeah, no, I'll be honest with you. I hate watching myself. It is the most gut-wrenching thing. You're just like, So how do you get a job like that? Because that's like with like a major baseball team. I've actually looked for jobs like things like that, regardless of Atlanta, LA, anywhere. And those, I feel like they don't even post those online.
Yeah, they don't. A lot of times. Actually, I think legally they have to.
Yeah.
So they do. But it actually goes way back, if I can go back. When I was in college, I used to intern every summer at a TV station, and I learned so much from my internships. I'm telling you, I have a journalism degree. I learned more from my internships than I ever did in school. Sorry, Clemson University, I love you, but I learned more in my internships. And my last year, I interned at CNN Headline News, and I was in the entertainment department, then entertainment segment. And it was an incredible opportunity. So when I finished my senior year at Clemson, I had contacted the people that I had worked with and said, you know, hey, I'm looking for a job. So they actually connected me with Turner Studios, which is here in Atlanta. It's a part of Turner. And they were looking for a production coordinator. So I moved to Atlanta and I started working as a production coordinator, and I was freelance. And then I was also working on my on-camera experience at the same time.
Yeah.
And so I was working for a little entertainment show as a reporter, and I was doing that. And then I was learning all the behind the scenes, which is so incredibly valuable, I think, as an on-camera talent, to know how hard everybody's working behind the camera. So anyways, when I was at Turner Studios, one of our clients was Turner South. And for those of you who have watched the Braves for a really long time, the Braves used to play on Turner South. So we would go to spring training every year, and we would do all the promo videos where you would talk to the guys and they would say their name and where they're from and all the trivia questions and all of that. So I went down 3 different years and got to know a lot of the Braves staff when I would go. And I was the person kind of behind the camera, you know, asking the guys and talking to them. And so after that job, I ended up working on a softball show on Fox Sports Net, and I traveled around the country covering softball tournaments. And then we did which was hilarious. It was so much fun. And then we would go to Major League Baseball stadiums on a tour with these big softball guys, and they would do home run derbies at Major League Baseball stadiums. It was incredible. And so part of that job, I had a segment called Out to the Crowd, where I would go and I would chat with fans at softball tournaments. So my boss, that's now my boss, he at the Braves knew that I was doing the show. I worked for the show for 3 years. And so 1 year he came to me, and this was 5 years ago, and he said, you know, hey, I really like what you're doing with that Out to the Crowd. We're opening it up a new position here with the Braves, and I want you for this role. So literally, I got the job because I had met him at spring training years before. That's crazy. I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. He liked my work, and that job was just supposed to be mine, and it was. And so I started working for them, and now it's been 5 years that I've been with the Braves.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Super cool.
And what's your favorite part of that job?
You know, it's I think the people, and it's the fans. I love interacting with fans, and being the connection. So you get to be that connection between, you know, when you're in a role like I'm in, you have to be able to talk to a professional athlete and conduct yourself not like a fan, like a professional, and like they're a human being. You have to be able to talk to people who own teams and that are of a pretty high status. You also have to be able to communicate with people that are ushers, work concession stands, that are everyday people. And you have to be able to talk and interact with them just the same. And so I love that I'm able to connect these two worlds, right? So my job is to talk to a player in a way that the fan looks at the player and is like, wow, I am such a fan of this guy. And then also, you know, so you're able to be that connection for them. And I love that. I love doing that, because as fans, you know, we love these professional athletes, but we don't have access, you know, to them. So to be able to be that connection has been really cool.
That's awesome. And what would you say would be your biggest learning curve doing that job?
Oh, man. Being prepared is huge. I think you always want to listen and be engaged in the conversation that you're in, but you also have to be really prepared. So, you know, when you go into something every day, I don't always know what is going to hit me. You know, I go, first thing I do is I meet with my producer and my camera guy actually, and we decide who we're going to talk to in the locker room and, you know, what that interview is going to look like. And then we run around the ballpark and we will be doing a variety of things. You never really know, to be honest. And, but kind of preparing for that day, you know, having your mind right before you go in and then just riding that wave as you go, because it can be very demanding, very fast. You know, they want it now, and you have to always be ready to go. So I think that kind of preparing a little bit before you get there helps you to not be stressed in that moment, because if you're not prepared, it can be very stressful.
I was going to say, and not all the times you can be prepared. So how do you deal with that pressure when it's like you like if you're just thrown into something?
Yeah. And it's amazing, because honestly, a lot of times, you know, I am. I think knowing the brand really well helps, because I have a lot of just knowledge in my brain about the Braves. So that will help. But it just kind of depends. I think you just kind of have to take a deep breath and come up with what you can, and then you sort of go with it. But when you're, you know, if I'm interviewing someone, I sort of have an idea of what I'd like to ask, but I always ask them before, hey, is there anything you really want to get out? What? Because my job is really to help them tell their message, right? So I make sure to talk to them before, and that may trigger something that I wasn't thinking I was going to ask. And then also maybe during the interview, as you listen, an answer may trigger another question. So I think that you just kind of do what you can, and then you just go for it, because there's really nothing else you can do at that point.
And when you're interviewing, like, what's going on in your head? Are you, because with me, I'm a little scattered. Mm-hmm. It's like, because I know we're supposed to listen, and I feel like I listen really well. Yeah. But there's times where I get caught up in my own interview, and I like have a question,
sure,
and then it just kind of like throws everything. Does that ever happen to you, or are
sure,
you in your head
absolutely.
A lot?
Absolutely. So my goal is always to have an outline, to have somewhat of a plan. But my other goal is to not feel like I have to stick to that plan if the conversation goes
somewhere. It's almost
else.
Like a backup in case
absolutely.
You just blank, so you don't blank
yes.
out.
So I will write it down. When I'm on my way to the interview, I'll look over it, you know, and I love to have an idea of what I want to say at the beginning and at the end, because I always feel like you can figure out the middle, mm-hmm. but you want to start strong and you want to end strong. So I always want to know how am I going to do those two things? And then I have a little bit of my plan, and it's just in my head. But while they're talking, I know I have in my head what that question may be, mm-hmm. if it doesn't trigger something else. But then if they're talking and they say something else, then I go there. Then I just go. Because you may, you know, be able to get something that you didn't even know you'd be able to get, you know, out of them.
Yeah, and since you're in front of so many people, have you had an embarrassing moment?
Like, yes.
What has been like probably the worst
thing? This was honestly amazing. And it's just crazy. So there are Braves fans out there or just baseball fans. Ronald Acuna Jr. is Rookie of the Year this year. He was our rookie who came up. He's incredible. And he speaks Spanish, so he has a translator. And I've interviewed Ronald many times throughout the season. And so I had an interview with him after a really big game. And I hadn't interviewed him in a little while. Mm-hmm. And I just hadn't, and we were running around. So how it works is you ask your question, mm-hmm. then the translator will translate the question. He will answer the question. Then the translator will give it in English. So everybody gets it. And that's how the interview yeah. goes, right? So I ask my question, and Franco, our translator, then translates it to Ronald. And then Ronald answers in Spanish. And then I just go right into my next question. So let's talk about not listening. I wasn't, because he was saying it in Spanish, and we got done with the interview, and Franco, the translator, was like, Greer, we didn't hear the English answer. He was like, was this for Los Bravos? I was like, no.
Tell him now.
I mean, what are we doing? So literally, and then Ronald just busts out laughing. You know, I mean, he couldn't have been nicer. I mean, a professional guy could have easily yeah. been like, what are you doing? Yeah. I'll never talk to you again. But it was a great lesson, and I'll never do that again, obviously. But it was pretty funny that I didn't actually get the English answer. Yeah. And so I must have been just so worked up or nervous or something that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, no autopilot for that day.
Yeah, it was bad.
But you also do a little bit of work with the Weather Channel here in Atlanta as well, which is super cool.
Yeah, you know, that's been a new thing this year. They have this really cool new app called Local Now, and the Weather Channel is really putting a lot of efforts into this. So it's really geared towards millennials, and it's geared towards all of your specific cities. Mm-hmm. So you're able to download the app, and then really quickly you get all of your news for your area. So they have several cities. They've got Atlanta, LA, New York, Chicago, Denver, Orlando, you know, just all over the country, and you go and you are able to kind of read those news yeah. stories, and you get your news in about 90 seconds. And there's national news, but then there's also, like, you know, the festival that's going on yeah. this weekend, or, you know, whatever's going on in local politics or in any other yeah. thing too. So it's been a fun little gig. It's not my gig. It's my friend Sasha Rionda. That's her job. But I just fill in for her, yeah. You know, whenever she's got something else going on, and I've enjoyed it. It's been really cool.
That's awesome. And is that manager agent based as well? Or is that?
Yeah. So that one, yes, for sure. So that was something they'd been working on for quite some time. And then I was able to, you know, I auditioned for it and that type of thing. And, you know, and that kind of came about. That was definitely through my agent. So.
So how did you get your agent? And then I want to talk about the auditions. So.
Ooh. Yeah. So when I, let's see, when I first moved to Atlanta, I got an agent. I had done some things on camera. I thought I was great.
As we all do.
It let me assure you, I was horrendous. And but I had a small agent here and started, and at the time I knew I always wanted to be a host and reporter, but I think in the Atlanta market, a lot of people had told me like, oh, you need to take acting classes. So I was like, okay, sure. So I did. And I enjoyed that, but eventually came to the realization that that wasn't my thing. I really love hosting and reporting, and that's just my bag. But so I was doing commercials and corporate videos and that type of thing. At the time, there wasn't a lot of film TV that was here. And so I did that, and I was with that agent for 2 years. And in a span of 2 months, I have no idea how this happened. I landed 3 national commercials. I landed Coca-Cola, KFC, and Exxon. And it was just really weird. It was like, wow, okay, I don't know what happened.
Well, let me stop you right. Those are like, that's like huge. That's like,
yeah, SAG National.
SAG, which means those are like, I mean, that's a huge deal.
Yes.
Especially like, I have tons of actor friends who talk about those type of commercials all the time. You're like, yeah, Coke.
Literally, I thought, and so when that happened, I was like, I'm quitting my job, all the things, I am fine. Let me assure you, I've never had a run like that ever, you know, since. I've been in plenty of commercials, but it was never like that. So then I ended up switching agents. I went to a bigger agent because they were like, oh, you're taking all of our talent's work, come work for us. And so I did. And I have been with that agency actually ever since. So that's been, I don't want to date myself, but many years now. A lot of years.
But is it through referrals, or do you like knock on their door? Do you send them their resume? Like, how did you get?
Well, at the time, resume? You know, at the time you would submit, you know, a headshot with a resume, you know, and all of that. And so I had done that originally, and they didn't want anything to do with me. And then when I came back to them with, you know, hey, I've done these, then they were like, oh, wow, you're the one that, you know, booked those over our talent, because they all know who's booking what. They were willing to take me on, and I love building relationships. Yeah. So I've been with them ever since, and I love it.
So it's like, she said Coke commercial. That's me.
Yes. Yeah. No. That's
me right there. We've printed out this like 8x12.
Yeah. Yeah.
But and as I always tell other people as well, hosts, agents, managers, whatever, it's like, it all comes back to creating your own content as
Absolutely.
Well. And you have done that as well.
Yes. So that has been actually one of the biggest learning curves. I have a very good friend of mine, Beth Keener, who you've talked to as well. And we had been friends in the industry for a really long time. We had been accountability partners. We both were working on a show at the time that was an entertainment show, and it was terrible. And we knew it, and we just looked at each other and we thought, we can do this. And she had been kind of doing these weekend to do type things. She was kind of getting her feet wet in it, but you know, wasn't really sure what she was going to do. Yeah. And so she came over one night, this is probably 3.5 years ago, and was like, I want to do this together. And I was like, girl, I've been waiting for you to ask. and so we did. So we started, we have a project called The Local Lens, and we cover entertainment here in the South, which we feel like is really important because we've seen the industry grow and boom here. And it's such an amazing blossoming industry. And so our goal is really to cover it here, but to do it the way that someone from the South would do it and the way that friends would do it. And so we've done that for the last 3.5 years, and we've had some wins and so many losses, and but overall, we've learned so much about behind the camera, in front of the camera. We've honed our skills together incredibly, you know, and we've made a name for ourselves as hosts. And so now in town, when I am telling you, when someone is looking for a host, they know that Beth and I are in that. They know that they can count on us. And we did that on our own because no one will do it for you. And that's something that Beth and I really learned, is that if we don't do this, no one's going to open this door for us. And so we just started knocking on doors and doing it. And, you know, they're not always perfect and great, but we're learning every step of the way, which has been cool.
And how persistent do you think you guys are together as a team?
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing to have an incredible partner like Beth, because The days I want to give up, she won't let me. And the days she wants to give up, I won't let her. And we have drug each other along so many times. But when we're on the same page, you better watch out because we're pretty unstoppable. but yeah, I mean, I think we just believe that whether this works or not, there's so much value in it. And we believe in that. And we believe in each other. And we want to rise together, whatever that looks like. So we're not giving up anytime soon.
That's awesome. Do you believe that persistence outweighs talent sometimes?
I think it can. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely do. When you are persistent and you continue to push, you're going to be there and people are going to think of you. But I also hope that talent does go into that. And I think that when people continue to work hard at their craft, they get better.
Yeah. And if somebody were to come up to you right now, it's like, Greer, I see you on the Braves thing all the time. I was like, I want to like take you for coffee. You're like, what can I do to get that job? In this day and age, like, so, I mean, we've kind of seen a change and shift and everything. Sure. So what would you tell them now?
Sure. I think honestly, you do have to start. It never hurts to start to create your own content. And you just have to start. As I love to say that, it doesn't have to be perfect. But, you know, with social media and with YouTube and Facebook and everything, we have outlets now that everyone has their own channel, really. Mm-hmm. So I think you really have to just start to create something that you believe in. And everybody's different. So I would obviously choose something that you are really into because you're mm-hmm. going to enjoy it more. That is really important. But also you have to learn from professionals as well. So I feel like it is super important I think internships are so important. I learned more from my internships than I ever did in school. And if you're older, I think and you're not in school, so an internship maybe isn't a possibility, then volunteer your time. Find the people that are doing what you want to do and say, I will go and get your coffee. I will carry your bag. I will drive you there. But, you know, whatever it is you need me to do, if I could just be there and just see what's happening, because you learn so much on a set and being around a professional that it's such a unique environment that if you're never exposed to it, I don't think you quite get it. And no matter how much you are creating your own content, until you see it done professionally, I think the two of them merging together is where you really can create some success.
Woo! That was good stuff.
Is that good?
That was awesome. That was good stuff.
All right, that does it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. And I would love your help. If you would, just subscribe to the podcast, leave a 5-star rating. I really, really would appreciate it. And last but not least, I got a little something for you. For the last 10 years, I have been writing, shooting, producing, editing my own video to get my dream job as an entertainment reporter in Los Angeles, interviewing the stars. Now, that might not be your dream, but if you are in this industry and you are in this field, you are going to need to learn how to write, shoot, and edit, produce your own content. And now I want to personally train you on these skills so you can create your own journey and make money while doing so. So what I want you to do now is log on to Facebook and request to be in my private Facebook group, On Camera Professionals. Once again, it is called On Camera Professionals. But wait, Thomas, I really like your stuff. I really want to learn from you, but I don't want to be on camera. Don't worry, I got you covered. In this group, I'm going to be doing live training, so that means live tips and tricks. I'm going to do giveaways, freebies, and I'm also going to do personalized training. So once again, log on to Facebook and type in On Camera Professionals, and I'll see you there.